Obviously, being Father's Day today, I sort of want to go in that theme. But can I just say, it is so evident through the worship that our Heavenly Father's heart is for us. I mean, if you didn't hear that tonight, can I just help you? That God loves you so much. And, you know, in His presence, there's so much for each one of us. And I really just believe that, you know, if you just hear what God wants to impart to you tonight, that there's no way that you can leave here the same. He wants to deposit great and mighty things in your life. Amen? So I'm excited. I mean, yes, we're going to do this for eternity, man. Yes. But the awesome thing is we get to do it here first. And we're practicing. So sorry, dude, your voice being messed up. You got nothing on eternity, but maybe there's like anointing for no messed up voice in heaven. All right, so tonight I want to chat to you, not about offering, from a dad. And I want you to allow me, as a Kalkoop Umi, like someone earlier said, who of you are over 40? Over 30? Over 30? It's a select few. Right, who is between 25 and 30? What? All right, so actually, Obali, so. All right. Here I help. So I want you to allow me tonight, as an otopi who's got no hair, to speak to you as a father. Now, I don't know what your relationship is with your dad like and what's going on in your life currently, but tonight I want to speak to you as a dad, and I want to speak to you from Scripture because I believe there's some things that you need to hear tonight as I just address you. You know, becoming a father is a massive thing. I don't think there's nothing that prepares you for that. I must say, up to the point that you actually become a father, you think you know everything. And then you get this little person who gets born and they are helpless. You are the everything. If you don't feed them, they die. If you don't clean them, good luck. But it's not such a nice thing, you know. And you get this little person and there's very little in life that can actually prepare you for this. And I want you to know that as you are sitting here, every one of your parents went through that exact same thing. Where you love your wife and you decide to take the plunge. Lost I paliki. Okay. I see there's only the select few that will understand that. But in any case. All right. So some of you are catching up. They'll say, right. So it's like, okay, my leaf, we are doing this. We are having children. All right. No more living the safe way. We are going for bungee. You know, and it's in that absolute love relationship with your wife that sex happens. You know, sorry guys, I mean, this is as real as it's going to get for you. This is it. You know, beautiful stuff in marriage, which is awesome. And lost it eight toda. Right. But then there's consequences to this act of love. And your wife comes to you and says, ta-da, congratulations, papa. And I tell you everything and you goes funny on you because now you realize, I'm going to be a dad. This is so awesome. And what's the first thing you do? You go spend money. We need prams. We need stuff. And I mean, I don't know what happens to a woman after that because she just wants to paint and put all like a stuff in the room and, you know, and all she keeps saying is, in Afrikaans, no, a mens moet nou hierso a nice kassie insit. You know, who's a mens? A mens is hierdie ou, you know. A mens has to do something. And I'm like, you know, a mens moet dalk hierdie ene pers verf. Then I'm like, there you go, Saturday. And I wanted to go fishing or play golf, and it's like, I now know what I'm doing Saturday. And I tell you, you get sucked into this whole process of buying nappies. I mean, if you've never been in a nappy aisle, it is intimidating. There's like different types. Okay, we won't go into that. I might scare you from having kids, but it's very absorbent, not so absorbent, rubbish, and Pampers. Apparently, just stay with Pampers. Right, okay. If you remember nothing about this lesson, please. But you know what? When we had Jamel, I mean, we had to get a pram. So we go buying this pram. Or we go pram shopping, and I tell you, I walk down the aisles there, and what's this baby city? I was going, yeah, how am I going to afford anything for this child? I mean, the pram was 899 rand. This is now 15 years ago. And I stood there, and I'm going, 899 for a pram? I mean, you just push this baby in there. This is not on. Now, praise God for parents, because I think Lorette's parents could hear the distress in our voice, and they said, no, they'll buy the pram. The problem with the pram is I had drove a Fiat Pacer, Uno Pacer. You know the Fiat Uno Pacers? It was almost a car, and then they stopped. It's a sample car, And every time I had to take this pram and put it in the boot because we're going somewhere, I had to disassemble, take the wheels off to, you know, get this thing. But what you don't realize when you enter this journey is that parenting is actually expensive. It's a costly affair. But you know what? I'm sure there's a code where people that has had children, you know, the only thing they tell you when you're embarking on this journey is that, oh, this is going to change your life forever. And you being all wise in your wisdom, you say, yeah, sure. Yeah, I can see that. You got no clue. Any case, I leave that there. I said after Jamel, I said, if I'm going to write a book about children and having a child, the population growth is going to decline. Because Jamel did us the favor for 2.5 years not to sleep through. So we had a nice time. So I want to say that to you, for you to understand that the day that your parents decided to have you was an awesome day. Everything that followed after there was a journey and a half. Okay? They really did not have a clue of what they're doing. I'm still saying, I'm looking for the manual. You know when you buy a car, you get a owner's manual? Now, I don't know, maybe I missed it in hospital, eh? But part of the package that I took home, there was no like, if he does this, now do this. If this happens, do this. If this does not happen, do that. I tell you, the first baby, the thing that got me the most was this guessing game. You are fed, you've got a dry nappy, you're warm, what's wrong with you? Most men, when you feed them, they shut up. So it doesn't work like that with a child. I mean, you learn about medical terms like never in your life. I mean, you could sit in a conversation and sound like a doctor. Okay, I'm not going to go into that. But in any case, all right, so I want you to know that your parents embarked on this journey and they did not know necessarily. They did not know what they were doing. That sex, you happened, that's it, awesome, there we are, congratulations. But the cost, you know, the Bible speaks about if you want to embark on something, count the cost. I would like to determine the cost, what it took to raise Jamel and Caleb by the time they leave university and they earn a salary and I don't have to pay for stuff anymore. I would like to see that bill because I think I'll probably fall over. It's going to be crazy. But I can tell you this much. Having a 15-year-old and an almost 13-year-old in the house is awesome. You have to love to hate them sometimes. You know, it's awesome having my boys. I enjoy the interaction. And sometimes we huck a bit, you know, like, I'm going to kill you now. And I'm sure you've been there. You've had that with your parents, where you had these moments where it's not so lacquer. But I want to tell you that this is part of the fun. And you shouldn't allow the enemy to come into your relationship with your parents and destroy your relationship with them because you've got issues. Oh, yes, and they too. All right, so I want to say this to you. Becoming a father is easy. Finishing well, not so much. Like I say, to have kids is easy. Sex, kaboom, change, there you go. Done, pregnant. And then, all your best intentions cannot prepare you for what is about to come. Because this journey of becoming a parent, I tell you, you sit a lot with people that are in the same sort of boat, crying together, because how do you do this? So in order to speak to you tonight, I want to go into the book of Proverbs, and I want to just look at a few things that Proverbs is saying there. And before we read that scripture, I want to say this to you, that Proverbs is the only book that actually, when he wrote it, he tells us why he was writing this book. And the book was meant for wisdom. So if you want wisdom, Proverbs is a good book to go and read. There's actually 31 chapters, which is one for every day of the month. So you can read it every day of the month for the rest of your life, a book of Proverbs every day, and you will do well. All right? It states there that the beginning of wisdom is the fear of God. And this is where I want to position a lot of what I'm going to say tonight, because this is where I believe we as parents need to stay in order to raise our children in the best way. And that is the fear of God. If we encounter God, if we focus on the fact that the beginning of wisdom is the fear, the reverent, worshipful fear of God, we will do well. And that is what Proverbs is saying to his readers. He's saying, listen, I'm writing this book so that you will have wisdom. So let's read this quickly. The Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to understand words of insight, to receive instruction in wise dealing, in righteousness, justice, and equity, to give prudence to the simple, knowledge and discretion to the youth, that's you. Let the wise hear and increase in learning. So if you're wise tonight, you must hear and increase in learning. And the one who understands obtain guidance. To understand a proverb and a saying, the words of the wise and their riddles. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. So he's writing this book and he's saying, listen guys, you want wisdom. This is a good thing, This is why I'm writing this book. Now, if you go read Proverbs, you will notice that Proverbs is actually never mentions stuff that we are used to in the church. You know, it never mentions that, you know, the priests and the pastors and the teachers and all these things that we read in so many of the other books. He doesn't get into that stuff. But he's writing this book and it takes on very relevant topics in life. It gets a bit funny sometimes, because there's a few very interesting proverbs that you can go and read. I mean, if you want to go have a good laugh, go read some of those proverbs, because there's some funny stuff in there. But he's writing this so that to help us to understand and how to apply and respond in life. Okay? So when he speaks of the fear of the Lord, he says this, if we see that God hates evil, we will see our folly, our own stupidity, and our need to live life as he desires. You see, God hates sin. It's not that he dislikes sin, because there's a difference. He hates it. What happens if you hate something? If you hate broccoli, my sons will have said amen already. Yeah, man, that's yeah. No, you don't put cheese on broccoli, man. You just don't eat the stuff. My son says, the Lord said, from this tree you shall not eat. So, having settled that one. But if you hate something, if you really hate something, are you going to want anything to do with it? So we need to understand. The first thing is that God hates sin. Like passionately opposes it. It cannot be in his presence. He doesn't want to be there. He does not like this. So if we understand that, we will see our folly, our stupidity in our own lives, and the things that we are actually living with, enticing, playing with. We are not hating sin. And once we understand that he hates sin, we will actually do a course correction in our lives to align it to what God has in store for us. Then that scripture that says, be holy as I am holy, will suddenly actually be awesome to you and not freak you out. Because the more I hate sin, the more I will line up with what God has in store for me. You know, if I listen to what has happened here tonight, there is a call from God to this. So listen, there's stuff in your life. Stop playing with it. Stop, you know, thinking it's okay. If you're not going to hate it, you're not going to stop it. In some of our lives, there's a value shift that needs to happen. Because you see, if your value is not godliness, you will never be that. If that's not in your heart, if that's not something that you dream about, if that's not understanding God's desire for us to walk in it, you will never pursue it. If it's just a nice idea. Right, so wisdom comes from fearing him, asking him for wisdom, and learning to handle the affairs of this world in a shrewd and sound way. So if you ask God for wisdom, that is what he will allow you to do. Now come on, man. We need wisdom in this world. We really do. As the children of God, we should shift stuff. Because we are sitting in the presence of God Almighty. And just that should do that. Okay? Now in this book of Proverbs, I'm just laying a foundation already. Still. We'll get to the sermon just now. All right, so it's still early. You know, 10 is far. All right, so the book also tells us that wisdom comes from God via other people, especially relational. Like your parents, grandparents. And then there are people in your life that God has taken on a journey already that's been through stuff, then he's saying, come learn from them. So you see, if you want to obtain wisdom, if you want to grow in wisdom, can you do this on your own? To a degree, maybe. But you know what? There's a lot of wisdom locked up on the people that God has placed around you. So do you understand that if you do not pursue your father or your mother, you are actually not very clever? I keep telling my sons, listen, my boy, I've walked this road. I can see where you're heading. If you don't do this, you'll be fine. If you do that, Toma, when you see copy stamp, nah, don't cry for me, Argentina. You know, you are putting in an application here. Your application might just be approved. And you're going to hurt yourself. Listen to me. I've done this. Now, my sons will tell you, having told them a few things we got into, there's a few things they should not do. So I can speak with authority. Why? I've been there. But you see, for some reason, we reach a place in our lives where when our parent speaks, we like, you know, it's like, I think I hear something. Lord, is that you? It must be the pizza man. And we actually become deaf. But we become hard of hearing to hear our parents. And you know what? It's because you picked up an offense probably somewhere with them. Therefore, you close your ears to hear the wisdom that God has bestowed upon them, whether they're saved or not saved. Listen, God can use unsaved parents. No? Don't think that God can't use them. If you use the donkey, then unsaved parents is no problem. He'll speak through them. Okay? So in this book, he says, listen, I want you to hear the wisdom that I've bestowed on those that have gone before you. Learn from them. Right, so in Proverbs, there is about 900 Proverbs. 900. Okay, it's going to take a while to count to there because it's weekend. So we should do well in just studying. You know, do you understand that this book of the Bible is not just there by chance? God actually intended for this because apart from the other books, it doesn't necessarily focus on just the church stuff. It gets into the nitty-gritties of life. And it actually instructs you on how to, with wisdom and shrewdness, go through this life. You know, and we've adopted even some of the sayings that are in Proverbs. All right, so Proverbs starts off like this. He starts off this. He says, listen, to know wisdom and instruction and understand words of insight. That is why I'm writing this letter. Okay, so in the next six chapters, you can go to that next slide. There's quite a number of seven chapters. The next seven chapters, he says this in various ways, but many times. So tonight, as a father, I want to say to you, listen, my son, my daughter, hear your father's instruction and forsake not your mother's teaching. In the next seven chapters, he's saying to his son, hey, my son, hear my voice. Yeah, if I speak to you, because I've gone before you, listen to my teaching, understand what I'm trying to tell you, because I have your best interest at heart. You know, parents might come over sometimes like they want to be spiteful, where it's actually not the case, where they are truly and actually concerned about your life and where you're heading. But because you are selfish and you don't want to hear them, you keep going in that course of action. I can tell you, you are disobedient and you're going to miss God's plan for your life. And if you are disobedient to your parents, I want to challenge you tonight to go back to them and say, listen, I'm wrong, forgive me. Go restore that relationship with your father and mother and allow God to do great and mighty things in your life. All right? So hear your father's instruction, forsake not your mother's teaching. They have learned a few things. And obviously, man, if they are born again, if they know God, how much more should we not listen to them? You know, I know my parents are praying for me. I know if there's two people on this earth that are fervently praying for this dude, it's my parents. And I would be stupid not to listen when they speak, because they are consistently before God on my behalf. So if you have parents that are doing that in your life, then please listen to them. And allow them to teach you. Even though it's not, you know what your parents will probably do? They're going to say the stuff you don't want to hear. Where those around you want to be like, you know, maybe you should do this. But your parents will go, you know what, that's not a good idea. Stop it. Lose it. Is that true? It's because they know you. They've got their best interest in your heart, your best interest on their hearts. All right. In any case, in the next six, seven chapters, I want to get into a few things that he says to his son. So this is my instruction to you tonight as a father. In Proverbs 1 verse 10, he says this, my son, if sinners entice you, do not consent. Listen, I can tell you, having been there and done that, that sin is everywhere. If you are not awake, if you are not pursuing God, if you are not searching for God continually, if you are not pursuing that wisdom that is in Him, I tell you that sin is lying, it's waiting just for you. And listen, man, the devil is crafty. How long have you been on this earth? 25, 27, 28 years? You know, he's got a couple of years more experience than you and how to mess up people's lives. Do you really think you are cleverer than him? He knows all the tricks in the book. So he will use the stuff in your life that will entice you, that will draw you away from what? From God. And his purpose for your life. And he will use literally anything, any little thing in your life that he can get. He will get into that and he will use that as bait. I love fishing. And I can tell you one thing, when you sit next to a river and the fish is not biting, you become creative on how you mix stuff. You know, earthworms don't always work. So if a worm doesn't work, then you have to go brain brood. If brain brood doesn't work, you know, it's a mealy. And then you become into combinations and stuff. And then it's this flavor and that flavor. Until you find out what is the fishy liking in there. And I tell you, you put in mealy bomb. So that the fishy come to your mealy bomb and then you catch your fishy. There's ways and means. If I want to catch that fish, I'm going to catch him. I just need time. So the devil knows this. And the devil will entice you through different things. And you, the son and daughter, must have courage to say, no, I am not doing this. I'm not going to be enticed in this thing because I understand what God's plan and His will is for my life. I've got people that are speaking into my life and understand that God's plans are better than what you are putting in. This carrot thingy, I'm not interested, thank you. And I tell you what, can I just give you a hint here? If you hang out in the wrong places, suffer in silence. Because you know what? Sometimes you need to put up the boundaries in your life and not go to the places where you shouldn't go. And stay away, not go, yeah, ek is 'n Christen nou. I can do this, you know, I've got spiritual muscles, I'll sort out this thing. The scripture says pride comes before the fall. Pas op vir jou. Then the second thing, he says in Proverbs 2 verse 4 to 5, he says, if you seek it, which is wisdom, like silver, and search for it as for hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. Come on, people. If this was the gold rush, they say you get gold fever, where you go all funny on yourself because all you want is gold. Now, may we become like that in searching for wisdom. And so this, and that's essentially what he's saying here, is in your pursuit of this wisdom, seek for it like someone that's seeking silver or gold or diamonds or anything. Go look for this stuff passionately. Don't draw back. Search for it as a hidden treasure. Man, when Jamal was growing up, Indiana Jones was his man. I even had to paint the room like Indiana Jones' cave, you know, some pyramid. Yeah, you do some funny stuff when your parents, eh? I mean, his room was like all snakes and spiders and you name it. I mean, you would thrill if you walk in there, but he enjoyed this whole thing about looking for treasure. He even had a whip. There was just one rule, you can't eat your brother. Oh, and the dogs. Any case. But he's saying here, my son, seek wisdom. Not the wisdom of this world. Seek the wisdom of God. And how do we get to wisdom? The beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord. Right? So in other words, what he's saying here, pursue God like never in your life before. And in your pursuit of this one who created you, you will find this wisdom. And you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of, I mean, come on, who does not want the knowledge of God? If we have the knowledge of God, don't you think our workplaces will look differently? Don't you think the way we interact with people would look differently? I mean, come on, this is something that we must get into. And then in Proverbs 3, verse 3 to 4, he says this, let not mercy and truth forsake you. Tie them around your neck. Not too tight, though. Write them upon the tablet of your heart. And you shall find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. So he's saying, listen, let not mercy and truth forsake you. Mercy, unmerited favor. Show unmerited favor to those like God has shown you in saving you and bringing you out of the miry clay. That unmerited, you did not deserve it. Go show that to people. And truth, not facts. We major on facts in this earth. But the truth, what is the truth? How will you know the truth? The beginning of wisdom is fear of the Lord. So we will know truth, we will understand truth if we understand and know God intimately. So our pursuit should be in God. And then once we've got that, we can show mercy and truth to those around there. And watch this. Watch this. In verse 4, he says this, and you shall find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Wow. Wow. Come on. I want favor with God. I've seen what it is in my life to find favor with man where people want to do stuff for you. And I'm like, you don't know me. But there's this I don't know. They're weird, man. They just want to do stuff for you, give you stuff. And I'm like, yeah, okay. But I found favor with him. I haven't got a 10-year relationship with him, but because I'm pursuing God, I'm suddenly finding favor with man, and it's amazing. All right? So let not mercy and truth forsake you. Make sure, you know, when you bind something around your neck, it is quite close to you. It is right here. You are aware of it. Okay? I used to have a gold chain that my parents gave to me for my 21st. I said, I don't want a key thingy. And I had this gold chain. And we're working at Consul Glass this one day. Now, if you know anything about Consul Glass, they have this. I mean, this oven is about as big as this room. I mean, it's a massive thing. And there's this concrete floor, and we had to put piping underneath this concrete floor. And I tell you, it was so hot up there, I became very aware of this gold thing around my neck. In actual fact, it burned me blisters from the heat. I knew about my gold chain. I only did that once, and then when we had to continue working the next day, the gold chain was left at home. In any case, but tie these things around your... No, don't complain the heat now, right? But in any case, tie mercy and truth around your neck so that it's always close to you. Then Proverbs 4 verse 7 to 9, the beginning of wisdom is this. And now it gets into wisdom again. But it takes it a step further. It says, get wisdom, and whatever you get insight. So once you've attained wisdom, get the insight on how to apply this wisdom to your daily life. Don't just be satisfied that, no such slim. I've got wisdom. But once you've pursued God to the place where you see God revealing stuff in your life, then you go, hey, God, how do I do this? Give me insight so that I can apply this in the correct way. He says, they prize her highly, and she will exalt you. See, once you apply this wisdom, things in your life is going to change. Right? She will honor you if you embrace her. She will place on your head a graceful garland. She will bestow on you a beautiful crown. Now, can I just say again? It is all found in the fear of God. Outside that context, you're not going to find this. And what God wants to bestow on this wisdom that he wants to bestow on you and give to you, he will help you to apply that in your life. Powerful stuff. Proverbs 5 verse 3 to 5, he says, and it gets into something else here now. He says, for the lips of a forbidden woman drip like honey. Honey. And her speech is smoother than oil. But in the end, she's as bitter as wormwood. I don't know what that is, but it must be nasty if the Bible compares this woman against that. We will skip wormwood. Sharp as a two-edged sword, her feet go down to death. Her steps follow the path to Sheol. You know, and there's people that's going to come into your life, men and women that's going to come into your life, whose lips drip like honey. You know what? And if you spend time with God, you will be able to discern that. If you do not spend time with God, you're going to go, give me some honey, bunny. And you will be enticed. And you go places where you don't want to go. And she's going to mess with you, or he's going to mess with you. You know, and in a phase of your life where relationship, taking it to the next level, the one thing that you want to do consistently is pursue God. Pursue God. I can tell you this much. I reached a point in my life, I was, I think, about 21. Where I was just fed up with being single. I've now had enough. You know, genoeg is nou genoeg. And I started praying. I was like, listen, God, this is now nonsense. I mean, I want my wife now, please. Yeah, you can pray that. It's okay. And for 9 months, day in and day night, and day and night, and day and night, and the night and day, and see, it was confusing, and I think to the point for 9 months, God went, okay, stop it. She's in the church. My mother, I walked into the house one night after youth, and I walked into the house, and she couldn't sleep. God didn't allow her to sleep. And she came to me and said, Corbis, God says, don't worry, your wife is in the church. And I went, yes. So guess what, son? I went to church. And I sat in church. It was this like sloped, you know, almost like the university. And I made sure I sat right at the left. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that one is. That one can work, Lord. And the funny thing was, I got to Lorette and I skipped her. Stupidity, ladies. That's all I can say. Domknop. Yes, I know. And I skipped her. But you know what? I'll confess. I eventually took her out to. I was dating her best friend by chance. I was dating her best friend, and then her best friend wanted to kiss me, and I went, we don't do this around here. If I kiss first, not you kiss me first. In any case, so I asked Lorette out in front of her to spite her, and took Lorette to Golden City. That's the almost nasty man. Yes, I'm a Christian now. Okay. You see, there was no one speaking into my life. Clearly. And at Gold Reef City, I suddenly realized, whoa, she's actually a lot of fun. The funny thing is, my youngest brother and her oldest brother was best friends since primary school. I only met her when I was in army. So it's funny how things work. But that day, my knees buckled. And this forbidden woman's lips dripped like honey. Man, I mean, no, really, not really. But suddenly, I became awake. To this young lady, and obviously started pursuing her. And 22 years later, we're still having an awesome time, and I've got no idea why I told you that. But any case, right? It's interesting getting back to that scripture now, Proverbs 5:3. The interesting thing is, in chapter 7, he speaks about this woman again. So obviously. And especially for men, I think we need to realize that, gents, we get stimulated by what we see. And we should not let that govern our actions. We should pursue the woman that we really have a peace before God to pursue. And can I just say this? Gentlemen, you don't pursue the you don't catch. All right? You gefrek, you don't catch nothing. Ladies, I want to tell you, make them sweat. Make them sweat. Don't come cheap. Please don't be cheap. If you want further counseling, I'm here during the week. But gentlemen, if you want to catch a lady and she plays a bit hard to get, don't go sulk. Yeah, we men can get so useless. When she says no, what is wrong with us? How they call it brain damage, something apparently with testosterone getting into the brain, and we're all funny. But can I give you godly counsel as a father and someone that's been there? If she says no, she means yes. Not always. Unless she slaps you. I'm joking. Forgive me if I'm having a bit of fun here, but but gentlemen, please pursue the lady that you believe God is wanting you to walk with. In any case, moving on. Right, Proverbs 6. Let's get to Proverbs 6. This is a better scripture than the previous one. In any case, he says again. He says again, my son, if you have put up surety, security rather, in this one, in another scripture, he says surety, for your neighbor, have given your pledge for a stranger, if you are snared in the words of your mouth, caught in the words of your mouth, again, caught, okay, sorry, yeah, all right, then do this, my son, and save yourself. So in other words, if you are standing surety for someone, you've signed for their debt, then he's saying, do whatever you can to get out of that situation. Now, I don't know. I know in our day and age, it doesn't that happen that often anymore. But if you sign for someone to be able to get a loan or anything to buy something, you are actually bound to that person. And if they default and they don't pay, you have to pay their bills. And that is a hectic place. So financial commitment, you know, I always say, if you want to, someone comes to you and they want to loan money, and you actually want to loan them the money, then you actually give them the money. Especially if it's a brother or sister or someone close to you. You loan them the money, but in your heart you give the money. In your heart you're saying, if this money comes back, it's okay, but I've given it away. You see, because then it becomes a non-issue. But if I'm expecting the money back and my brother doesn't pay me back, what happens? That relationship is in dire straits. So if you loan money to someone, in your heart you give it. You don't expect it back. All right? So don't lend it. It's by eenvoudig. It's not rocket science. All right, and then interestingly, in chapter 6, he gets into the 6 things that God hates. 7 that are an abomination to him. Now again, as a father, I want to say this to you. God hates this stuff. Haughty, proud, and arrogant eyes. You know, when nobody else is good enough, watch out for that stuff in your life. A lying tongue. You know a lie is a lie. Of a witness of swartes. Black or white, still a lie. All right? It's not a little white lie. Shoot that thing. Okay? God hates a lying tongue. Because you know why he hates that? Because he hates sin. Because he can't lie. And we are supposed to be like him. So he hates a lying tongue. The hands that shed innocent blood. Man, I hope you're not doing this. Right? The heart. A heart that devises wicked plans. You know, if you're in a tight situation and things are pressing, you need to guard against this thing. Where suddenly you try and make a shrewd plan to get out of. And it's actually wicked, but you justify what you're about to do. You know, that's how many people land up in jail. It's they never intended for stuff to happen, but their situation went, they squeezed them. And then because they weren't checking their heart, they're not pursuing God, they end up doing stuff that they shouldn't. All right? So watch out for wicked plans. Fleet of feet that makes haste to run to evil. Now, I'm sure there's none of you here, but understand that God hates that. A false witness who breathes out lies. If you give a testimony about someone's life, you have to speak about them, give a true one, even if it's not what they want to hear, that gets tough. That's when it's not so easy, right? Okay, but don't be a false witness. Be true. Let your yes be yes and your no be no. And one who sows discord among brothers. Now this happens so quickly. Not true? Where we say stuff that actually ruins relationships. Because we are either for the one or against the other one or something. But there's stuff that happens where we actually end up sowing discord, sowing not nasty stuff between people. That is not the truth. That is not what God wants in our lives. And we need to understand that this is one of the things that is an abomination to God. It's stuff he does not like. And we as the children of God need to be aware of it and understand that we serve a holy God. And his standard is right up there. It's not sort of, hey, maybe you make it, maybe you don't. It's right there. So, sons and daughters, as you are sitting here tonight, as a father in the house, I want to say this to you. Pursue God. Pursue the fear of God. May the number one thing on your agenda of your life be to pursue the one who loves you, the one who formed you in your mother's womb, the one who knows everything about you, the one who, as a loving father, gave his only son to die for you, to pay for your sins when you were still a sinner, not knowing him. He was the one that actually came and paid that price. Pursue that God. God hears with a small letter. I just wanted to say that's wrong. Glad to see it's right there. Okay. Have the courage to say no. Courage. To say no to sin wanting to come into your life. Hear your father's instructions. If your relationship is not in a place, in a good place at the moment with your parents, your father and your mother, I know this is Father's Day, and if, by the way, if you missed it, maybe you should give them a call still. It's not over. 12 o'clock is far. Okay? But you know what? Don't necessarily wait for them to step across the room. You step across the room and go fix that relationship and start working at it. All right? Ask for instruction from those who can teach you. Seek wisdom. Now listen. There are people that God has placed around you, that has gone before you, that God has done amazing things in their lives. Go to them and say, listen, teach me. I think I know everything, but just in case you know a little bit more than me, please teach me. Okay? I look at the photos of me being your age, and I go, you see, that guy knew a lot. Not. I thought I was very clever. I realize now, yeah, I knew very little. Okay, show mercy and stand up for truth. Walk in integrity. Show mercy. Wherever you are, work, doesn't matter, family, show mercy. Stand for the truth. Stand for it. It's going to cost you, and it's okay. Rather die for it than be a liar. Okay, discern the enemy's ways. You will be able to discern the enemy's ways if you pursue God. If you understand his ways and you know where he's leading you. And then you need to lead by example. Ladies and gentlemen, as you are sitting here tonight, you are leading somebody. Somebody. Whether it's your brother, your sister, whether it's someone at work, you need to lead by example. Others must see and know that you are spending time with God. You know, they should see on your life the presence of God. In the way that you make decisions, in the way that you handle stuff. In what you are pursuing, what you are not pursuing. They should see that on your life. If they follow you, they should follow Christ. And for us to be able to do that, we need to pursue God. So tonight I want to say to you, heed your father's instruction, your mother's teaching. Go listen to them. If you've been disobedient, I want to challenge you to go rectify it. Okay? Honor your father and mother so that I may bless you with lengthy days on this earth. You want to see great and amazing things happen in your life? Honor your father and mother. Go make things right there. And you'll see God do incredible things. Let's stand. So tonight, if you are standing here, and if I can have someone on the keyboard, I'll appreciate it. Thank you, Lindy. If you are standing here tonight, and you realize not all is well, and not all is well, I mean that you realize that this God whom I am speaking about, you don't know him. You know about him. You know that he's there out there somewhere. Your thought about him might be slightly off, but you know about him. Then I want to tell you tonight that it's not by chance that you are here. that God has a plan for your life. And in His plan, He has brought you here tonight. He had an appointment with you. Because you are important to Him. In actual fact, your eternal destiny are important to Him. You see, He sent His Son to come and die on a cross and pay the price for your sin and my sin. Like I said earlier, even when we did not know Him. And tonight He's saying to you, listen, I've sent my Son to die for you. I've paid the price for your sin. Come and accept what I want to do with your life. Accept me as your personal Lord and Savior. Come bring your life and I'll show you what I can do with it. And as I stand here tonight, I know I was there one day, long, long ago, where I realized that if I die tonight, I don't know where I'm going. I actually don't know why I'm on this earth. I'm confused. And then God came into my life and I understood that He had a greater plan for me. And I gave my life to Him, and that was in 1989. And I'm looking back and I'm so grateful that God had a moment like tonight in my life where His love reached into my life and He said, listen, draw close to me. So as you are standing here tonight, I want to give you an invitation to respond to what God wants to do in your life. If you are standing and you realize that you have not accepted Him as your personal Lord and Savior, I want to give you that opportunity. I want you to come and make right with God. Because He's already paid for your sins. And if you come and you bow your knee to Him and you say, God, I recognize that You are Lord. I recognize that You've given Your Son to pay for my sins. I accept that sacrifice tonight and I accept You as my personal Lord and Savior. You will be saved, the Bible says. So with every eye closed here tonight, again, I want to give those people an opportunity. This loving Father is reaching out to you tonight. So if you are standing here, I obviously want to pray for you. And if you don't know Christ tonight, and you are saying, Lord, here I am. I want to give You my life, the rest of my life, everything that I have, I want to give that to You tonight. I want you just to raise your hand so that I can see where you are, so that I can pray for you. So if you just want to lift your hands high and say, here I am. In actual fact, you're just extending your hand to God and you're saying, God, I recognize what You have done on the cross. Here I am tonight. I want to give my life to You. I do not want to walk this life alone anymore. Is there anybody out there? Can you lift your hand quite high? Because I'm standing quite low so I can see you. I see somewhere there. Awesome. That is cool. Do not let this moment pass you. You know, tonight in the worship and everything, there were so many words saying that God is for you. God wants to draw you closer to Him. Do not walk out of this place tonight without making right with God. This is your moment. This is your moment. This is where God is saying, listen, my son, my daughter, I love you. So if you want to give your life to Christ, this is the last time I'm asking. Just raise your hand high, please. High. I want to see those hands. If you want to give your life to Christ tonight. Thank you, Jesus. I see that end. So if you've given you want to do that, can you quickly come to the front? Because I said I want to pray for you. So can you come to the front? Even if you did not raise your hand, come. Come. Who else? She's asking if she's the only one. Come on. God loves you. Come on, saints. God loves you. So, I'm going to ask Janine to go and pray with you and lead you in a prayer for you to commit your lives to Christ. This is the most important moment of your life. This is coming back to God saying, "Yeah, Lord, here I am. I give you my life. I give you everything." And I want you to know that you will never be the same again. You will never, because as you align with the plans of God for your life, He's going to transform you, change you, and making you into the woman that He is desiring you to be. And His plans for you are amazing. So Father, I bring Clorinda and Kiara before you tonight. I thank you for your appointment with them tonight, Lord God, that you have made us have this service in your honor for you to meet with them. And Lord God, as they just meet with you tonight, as they just come and they lay their lives before you, recognizing that Jesus, you died for them, that you shed your blood, that you died on that cross, you forgave all their sins, and your word says that you remove it as far as the east is from the west, you remove it from them. I thank you tonight, Lord God, that they become born again, that they become new, they become alive in you, Father. And I thank you as they pursue you from this day onward, that you will reveal yourself to them in greater measure. May they understand your word. May they understand who you are, Father. May this wisdom that are locked up in you, may they find that, Lord God. May they pursue you with everything in them. And tonight, Lord God, we want to bless them. We want to bless them in the name of Jesus. And I thank you, Father, as Janine spends time with them, that they will just hear your voice in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen, amen. Come on. All right, just in closing then. I want us to turn to one another. And I want you to respond, because there's some of you here that need to fix stuff that needs to be fixed with your parents. And I want us to turn 2, 2, 2, 3, doesn't matter. I want you to just to turn to one another. If your relationship with your father is awesome, I want you to do this, and that is I want you to pray over him and bless him. When you are done praying for him that he must be blessed, he must be blessed. So I want you to pray with faith and expectation. If your relationship is not where it should be, then tonight I want you to trust the people that are around you, that they come with you in faith and pray with you that relationship will be restored. Because in that relationship, God will be glorified. Amen. So Father, I thank you as we just go into prayer, time of ministry. I just thank you, Holy Spirit, that you will minister to hearts in this place. And that you will draw people closer to you. That relationships will be restored, Father God. Wisdom will come, understanding will come, and deliverance, Father God. I thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are in this place. And that you will just minister to hearts right now. In Jesus' name, amen. So let's turn to one another and let's just pray.